If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open up to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. And while you are opening up to John chapter 10, I have a statement. And I believe this statement is one that we would all agree with, one that I don't think anyone would disagree with. This statement is, I believe everyone wants the best possible life for themselves and for their family. Everybody wants the best possible life for themselves and for their family. I don't think anybody in life starts off by saying, man, I really want to have a messed up life. I don't think anybody says that. I don't think they're like, well, you know, I really want to mess up my family's life. I really want to mess up my life. I don't think anyone starts out in life saying that. See, I believe everyone wants the best possible life for themselves and for their families. We try to achieve this through school, and through school we hopefully have a better education, and through work we try to have the best possible job in order to ensure that our family is taken care of, that we are taken care of. See, we want safe homes. We want nice cars, nice jobs. It is something we all desire to have, the best possible life for ourselves and for our family. In 2005, a man by the name of Tom Brady was interviewed by CBS. Who here has heard of Tom Brady? If you don't know who Tom Brady is, he is an NFL quarterback for the New England Patriots. And in 2005, he had just won his third Super Bowl of his fifth year being in the league. He is in one of the top peaks of his career. Tom right now is debated to be even one of the best quarterback, if not the best quarterback, to play the game. That's debated. But in his interview, after his third Super Bowl ring in 2005, Tom was at the height of his career, to say. He had his dream job. He had the money. He had the security. He had everything to provide the best life possible for himself and for his family. But when he was interviewed by CBS, he said something that wasn't to be expected. And I actually have a clip from that. Do you mind if we play that, Nick?
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have three Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I think it's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I love playing football and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find.
As we see from the clip, Tom says this phrase, there's got to be more than this. In any normal life, in any logical life, according to us, we should have the best possible life if we're in that situation. But what does Tom say? There's got to be more than this. If being on top of the world does not give us the best possible life or abundant life, then what does? This is a serious question. If being on top of the world does not give us abundant life, the best possible life, then what does? See, culture has told us that high school or college or our 20s is the best time in our life. That statement in and of itself is the most depressing thing possible. you have 40 to 50 years of downhill slope, if that's true. And I'm telling you, I don't believe that's true. If high school is all there is, if our careers are all there is, what is the point of living knowing that if or when we achieve these things, it won't even fill us up? It leaves this question: how do we have an abundant life? We want the best possible life for our families and for ourselves. We want an abundant life for our families and for ourselves. Before we enter God's word today, let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good. Your scriptures are true. They are holy, Lord, set apart. I pray as we come in here into your scriptures today, Lord, that you would speak, that you would put me in the background and you would come to the forefront. Father, I pray this in the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I told you to open your Bibles to John chapter 10, and we are starting on verse 7. So Jesus again said to them, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. If you haven't been with us, we of a church have been going through the book of John. And last week, Pastor Steve, who's in Mexico right now, not on vacation, I hope, preached on most of this parable. Today's emphasis is going to be on verse 10. But what's really interesting about this parable is that it doesn't have a cutoff from chapter 9. If you remember in chapter 9, it's a blind man who is blind from birth and he has never seen, and Jesus spits on his eyes and rubs it on his eyes, and he's able to see for the first time. And he goes to the temple and people are like, this man is healed, and it happens to be the Sabbath. And the Pharisees, they're like, who healed this man? Who healed this man? We must find who healed this man. And he gets the blind man's parents involved just to make sure this is the same man, that make sure that it wasn't some false man that was healed or a false man that claimed to be healed. And by the end of the chapter, we see that the blind man was kicked out. But in verse 40 of chapter 9, it says, some of the Pharisees near him heard these things. See, Jesus found this blind man. And these Pharisees and the blind man are our audience for this parable. This is important because in verse 10, it says the thief comes. Well, the first question is, who is the thief? The thief are those who are misleading Israel, is the Pharisees. Instead of focusing on the joy and on the miraculous miracle of being healed of the blind man, they were more focused on keeping the Sabbath. The thief is the false teachers. How does he come? It says the thief comes. If we look through scripture, we see that the thief has a deceiving or unexpected arrival. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, it says, but you are in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. In Revelation 16:15, it says, behold, I am coming like a thief. Blessed is the one who stays awake, keeping his garments on, that he may go out about naked and not be exposed. The thief comes unexpectedly. I think we've all had a friend in our life who has maybe misguided us, or a family member that had misguided us. And we didn't expect it. In high school, I was bowling with a couple friends. Now, I do not condone anything that I'm about to say, so this might be a good story. But we were going bowling, and we were driving down Jackson Boulevard. You guys know where Jackson Boulevard? It's on the west side of town here. And we're driving down Jackson Boulevard. We had just got done bowling, but I noticed that one of my friends was kind of angry through the night. I think he was having relational issues or something of that matter. And as we're driving down Jackson Boulevard, right by Burger King, he says, "Hey, can you roll down your window?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And you know, it's kind of hot. It's muggy out, summertime. And I roll down the window, and the next thing you know, I see something fly across my face as I'm driving. And I'm like, "What was that?" Well, my friend was so mad that he threw a quarter out the window and hit a truck. Like I said, I don't condone this, because that truck turned around, got my license plate, and showed up at my, cops were at my dad's house. See, this friend of mine happened to be my best friend, one who I trusted. See, he misled me into getting in trouble. See, the thief comes unexpectedly, as those in our lives that we may least expect it to be. In our pursuit, in our searching for an abundant life for us and our family, there are those who do not want us to have it. You may even say they are used by the great enemy. See, thieves come to wreak havoc in our lives. Scripture says that he still, in verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. What this reveals to me is the thief has a plan of attack. Anyone who plans to wreak havoc has a plan, whether it's a good plan or not. He has a plan of attack. The thief comes to steal. Well, what does he want to steal? He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal our hope and our love for God. If you look at it in the context of this parable of sheep, the thief comes to steal the sheep from the shepherd. He wants you away from God. He steals our peace because we're not in the presence of God anymore. He steals our joy because we're now focused on the evil situations around us instead of who God is and what his word reveals to us. He steals our hope because now we're focused on the earthly things instead of the eternal things of the kingdom to come. And he tries to steal our love for God. He wants to isolate you. He wants to make sure that you can't listen to the voice of the shepherd. He wants to make sure you can't listen to the voice of Jesus. And you know what? If he's going to get you out of Scripture, he's also going to get you away from godly friends, your church, godly family members. He doesn't want you in the presence of the shepherd. We must be men and women who devote ourselves to seeking the presence of God. Not giving a foothold to the enemy, but pressing forth to be in the presence of God. Listen closely. The sheep farthest from the shepherd is the easiest target. The sheep farthest from the shepherd is the easiest target. If you are away from the shepherd, Pastor Steve last week had this biblical sheep pen back in the day, and the shepherd's the door, right? but the sheep farthest away is the easiest target. It reveals the importance of being in God's presence. In other words, when we are not seeking the presence of God, we are at our weakest. See, the thief seeks those who are helpless. They are the easy target. They are without a shepherd. In Matthew 9:36, it gives a pretty good description. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. The importance of staying in God's presence. This is true of individuals, but of families. If you're married in the room, if you have a family in the room, Satan does not want you together. The thief does not want you together. You don't want to know what I think he does? This is his infiltrate into our families. Is he makes you busy. He makes you busy. He makes you think that your job is more important than getting in a devotional time with your family and guiding them correctly. He makes you busy. He makes you come home at 7, 8 o'clock at night, or miss weeks at a time because you think you're providing the best possible life, but really Satan's infiltrating your home and telling you, and distracting you from being in the presence of God. He makes you busy. There's a saying that says, if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy. If this is true of your families right now, the thief has already snuck in. But the good news is the shepherd is the only one that can drive out the thief. The shepherd is the only one that can drive out the thief. Once he has isolated you, it's not long before he carries out the rest of the plan. He wants to kill. He wants to kill your faith. He wants to kill your belief in God. And he wants to do this by distractions. He wants to do this by busyness. He wants to tell you, oh, you can read this tomorrow. You can get in his presence tomorrow. Then he's going to come and destroy once he has succeeded in killing you. See, the thief wants you to go to hell. I hear people all the time, well, why is God so cruel to have people come to hell? Well, why is the thief the cruel one trying to make you get there? Why is he the one bringing you distractions? Why is he one deceiving you? Why is he one coming in the night? See, the thief doesn't want life for you at all. You know, I'm so grateful for the second half of verse 10. It says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus says, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Wow. You know what the really cool thing about this is? Jesus is the exact contrast of the thief. See, he came to give life, not steal life. He came to give life abundantly, not totally destroy it. He is a contrast to the thief. He is the life giver. In verse 9, it says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the thief? Saved from death? Saved from hell? And more importantly, saved for abundant life. This is great news. But we must first enter through the door of Jesus Christ. How we have an abundant life is through Jesus Christ. How we have an abundant life is through Jesus Christ. How we enter this door is first admit that we are sinners. We all have messed up. Everybody in here knows this. This isn't something new. We all have our faults. We have our faults against God. Then we need to say, Lord, forgive me. And turn from our sin. The Greek is literally the changing of the mind, The Hebrew brings a more of a changing of the action. We are to turn from the ways of the evil, sinful things we've done. Things that the false teacher, the thief, has brought us into believing is good. See, Jesus did not come to wreak havoc in our lives, but to give us life and life abundantly. And he gave it, his life, through the cross. He came to give his life that we may have life. Praise be to God. How awesome is that? See, with Jesus bringing abundant life, it actually redefines our lives. It is not chasing money anymore. It is not chasing our careers and having the best possible career. Life is not being liked or famous, which is something that everybody wants to strive for in our culture. An abundant life with Christ, it is following the shepherd. It is following Jesus Christ, learning how he walks and how he talks. The abundant life with Christ gives us peace. We can't explain. It is beyond our understanding. It is joy that never ceases. It is everlasting. It is hope unfailing. It never changes, and it's love that never dies. How beautiful is that? That is life. That is the abundant life of Christ that we get. It's not feeling like Tom Brady that when we hit the peak of our career, where's my joy? Where's my hope? There's got to be more than this. Well, I don't know what it is. It's not that. We have a hope that does not change. We have a love that does not fail. See, no external forces can steal us away from love, from the love of God. A man by the name of Oswald Chambers says this: "The undiminished radiance, which is the result of abundant joy, is not built on anything passing, but on the love of God that nothing can change. And the experiences of life, whether they are everyday events or terrifying ones, are powerless to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." How beautiful is that? You know what the beauty of it? Our joy, our hope, our love, our peace is not dependent on a circumstance. We all experience hardship in our life. And if we don't know who the shepherd is, those things go back and forth as a wave does, and it tears us apart. But having the good shepherd entering through the door of Jesus Christ gives us abundant life. They cannot be taken away when we are part of the flock of Jesus Christ, the flock of God. As we conclude here today, I plead with you. Listen to Jesus, the shepherd that gives abundant life. No other thing the world has to offer will bring you meaning or purpose in this life. You'll be left like Tom Brady. There's got to be more than this. Don't let the thief steal you. Seek the presence of God. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let Jesus give you and your family life and life abundantly. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are good. You are the life giver, the one that wants to give us the abundant life. Father, this is so humbling that you came down to be on a cross to give us life. You didn't come to be served, but to serve others. Lord, as we come here today, protect us from the thief, the one that comes to wreak havoc in our lives, the thief that wants no life for us. But God, let us dwell in your presence, the presence of abundant life. How beautiful is that, Lord? Lord, we thank you for all this. Thank you for your word. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.